Good evening. Recently, I was listening to the audiobook Basic Economics by Thomas Sowell, which I found to be extremely interesting. The key takeaway from the book that's repeated over and over and over again is economics as the study of the use of scarce resources which have alternative uses. A side note to all the dads out there, it seems to be so good that it puts everyone else in the car to sleep. In fact, on a road trip, I asked Lily if I needed to turn off the audiobook so she could go to sleep, and she said, no, it's helping, as she dozed off. So far, every time that I've turned it on, within 15 minutes, everyone else in the car has passed out. Dad, see me afterwards for more information. So listening to the chapter on inventory, it made me think of the parable of the rich fool in an entirely different light. I'm sure most of us have heard that parable before, but let's read it again this evening and apply some economic principles. Luke, this is in Luke chapter 12, 13 through 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who appointed me to be a judge or arbiter over you?" And he said to them, "Beware and be on guard against every form of greed. Not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man was very productive, and he began reasoning to himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops?' Then he said, 'This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' And God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your soul is required of you. Now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" Usually, this parable is applied by saying we need to focus on treasure or laying up treasure in heaven, or maybe we need to prepare to leave this life because we won't be expecting death when it comes, so we need to prepare now. Or we could talk about greed. Jesus specifically mentions it, and we need to be on guard against every form of greed. All these are excellent points and things we could apply to our lives, but tonight I wanted to look at it from the perspective of the economics and the effect on the economy of the rich man's decisions. Efficiency and wasted scarce resources. In the parable, I see a lot of waste occurring and potential for waste. The rich man has an unplanned surplus that could be liquidated if possible, but instead he's hoarding it for himself. The money has already been spent to produce and harvest the crops. Alternatively, that labor could have been used for other activities that would have been more profitable. The rich man now plans to wastefully tear down his barns, and apparently we're doing a fine job and build new ones, so we can store all this produce, only compounding the problem. The crops are going to keep getting older. Some will rot in the field waiting on the new barns. Some will rot in storage waiting to be used. Alternatively, that surplus could have been given away, sold, and donated to charity, or invested like the parable of the servants and the talents. Any of these options would have been wise alternatives. So what are you wasting your time and resources on? Are there expenses and luxuries that you can cut out of your life that would free up money to be used for the kingdom? What about time commitments? I know I personally seem to never have enough time to get everything done. We must watch that we aren't like the rich fool spending tons of time on something that seems productive but actually isn't beneficial. Clarence Wheeler used to say regarding church programs, "Don't be afraid to start a new program, but don't be afraid to end ones that aren't working." This sentiment can be applied to lots of things in life. I want to challenge us to commit to use our talents and resources for the Lord's work. Find something that fits in your natural abilities and what you enjoy, and invest time into it, and you'll see rewards. I think Dave Castle and Denise Smith are good examples of this. Dave uses his mechanical abilities to maintain our fleet of mowing equipment and does a wonderful job at it. Denise is a great hostess and decorator and puts that to work at graduation parties, lady days, etc. Everyone here has enjoyed the fruits of their labor, even if they didn't know it. Don't waste scarce resources you possess. Commit to using them to the Lord. Secondly, inventory is expensive. The rich man's main economic mistake was the amount of inventory he kept. Inventory can be inventory for many years, especially of a product that doesn't age well, is foolish. One example from the book Basic Economics is the inventory operating norms from the 60s, 70s, and 80s of Japan, the United States, and the Soviet Union. During this time period, Japan was developing the just-in-time inventory system, where Toyota kept no inventory at all, and parts suppliers made deliveries every day or even multiple times a day. This meant that Toyota had no capital tied up in inventory, but did require a very efficient and reliable delivery system. The U.S. typically kept 2 weeks of inventory on hand at any time, giving them a buffer in case a supplier had an issue. During the same time, the Soviet Union, with its socialist centralized economy, had no checks on inventory, with products being inventoried at the factory for years to come. But they continued producing the same goods. This is bad economically speaking because it ties up these resources and they can't be used elsewhere in the economy. This is one of the many factors that contributed to their economic collapse. In the case of the rich fool, instead of using the resources he had at his disposal to increase unneeded inventory, he could use that same lumber and manpower to build houses, furniture, an inn, or anything else that he thought would have been a wise investment. Instead, by using those resources to rebuild barns he already owned, he actually became poorer in the process and squandered the opportunity provided to him by God. What are you working on that is only needlessly adding to inventory? You ever think, if only I had one more thing, I'd be happy? Maybe it's one more article of clothing, one more electronic device, one more automobile, one more space to store, or more space to store all that stuff. So much of our lives are digital now, and people are even consumed with building up digital inventories of likes. Recently, when we were moving, I found things I didn't even know I owned. And these things were purchased recently, and I already had it and didn't know it. I'm pretty much set for life on nails and screws and bolts and surge protectors. Not only should we not be hoarding up inventory, but we also need to manage what we have. In conclusion, when we meet Jesus on Judgment Day, he's not going to be interested in our return on financial investment, our earthly possessions we accumulated, or even the number of likes we have on Instagram. He'll be interested in the work we did for the kingdom, the hungry we fed, the thirsty we gave a drink, the stranger we invited in, the naked we clothed, the sick we and in prison we visited. We need to be constantly vigilant about our wants and making sure that we aren't just gathering inventory here on earth when we should be using the effort to build up inventory in heaven. Tonight, if you haven't already, you can make the first step on the road to be added to the Lord's church. If you thought in the past you weren't ready to be a Christian, you can make that decision right now. You need to hear Acts 2:37, believe Hebrews 11:6, repent Luke 13:3, and confess the name of Jesus and be baptized, Acts 8:37, 38. Or if you allowed sin of this world to separate you from Jesus and you're unprepared for Jesus' return, or if you need the prayers of the congregation, please come forward while we stand and sing the invitation song.
Hear the sweet voice of Jesus say, come unto me, I am the way. Hearken the loving call, obey. Come, for he loved you so. Only a step, come, for he bled for you and I. He's the same loving Savior, yeah. Jesus the crucified, open for you the pearly gate. Love one for you, watch him wait. Terrible thought to cry too late. Jesus, I come to thee. Only a step, come, for he bled for you and I. He's the same loving Savior yet. Jesus, a crucified.
We're now dismissed to our classes.